Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our one and only Big Poppy, Red Sox Hall of Famer number 34, David Ortiz.
And throws a high strike. David Ortiz throwing out the first pitch at Fenway.
Dale Arnold.
Way to go, Antonio. This is the kind of stuff we got to put a stop to. And nobody out there should be thinking about emulating this BS.
Hey, yeah? Cool it.
Rich Keefe.
Tom, have you invited Antonio to stay at your house, and will he do that?
You know, I've asked a lot of guys over the years to stay at my house.
Get in my house!
And some have taken me up on it, and others haven't.
I'm not sure everyone's following here.
Sorry, but
we had a player to our team that we didn't think could help our team. I mean, what sense would that make?
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll get back to talking about Antonio Brown and the Patriots and football in just a couple of minutes. But at least for a few minutes here, we want to address more about what's happened with the Red Sox over the last couple of days. There is a piece by Pete Abraham in the Boston Globe in which he goes through the entire timeline of what happened Sunday night. There was a ceremony on the field pregame in which the Red Sox honored some longtime employees. Dave Dombrowski was on the field, smiling and waving and being a part of the ceremony, honoring the longtime employees. In the second inning, he was fired.
It was a bad inning.
They gave up two runs then.
Yeah, I know. Like, listen, you're done.
In the second inning, this is Pete Abraham's timeline.
Right.
He was told by John Henry and Tom Werner that, you know, they were going to part ways with him. When Alex Cora came off the field Sunday night, he was greeted in his office by Tom Werner, John Henry, and Sam Kennedy, all with Pete Abraham described as grim faces.
Oh, boy.
And they then
Cerberus
informed Alex Cora that they had parted ways with Dave Dombrowski. Cora was concerned that, you know, the players are going to find this out from the media when they get in here.
Yeah, because we had known, right?
He goes into the clubhouse, gathers the team around, tells them what had happened. And at 12:06, Kevin Gregg, one of the PR guys for the Red Sox, reportedly told a small group of media who were left around at that time what had happened. So that's the timeline of what happened. Then we get to yesterday.
Yeah.
And they put out a 293-word release.
Right, because, again, if you're fired Sunday at midnight, and first of all, by the way, not just any Sunday at midnight, it was the Patriots' season opener, which was a night game, by the way, so they didn't wrap up until around that time, and it was the weekend in which they signed Antonio Brown.
There was a little bit going on.
I mean, please, it was the biggest story in sports, Antonio Brown, not just in New England, in sports, Antonio Brown going to New England. Patriots just smoked the Steelers, all good feelings about the Patriots and everything else. Everybody watched that game, and you kind of bury it there. The series is still going on because it's one of those weird, you know, Friday through Monday series, right? Red Sox series.
Wrap around things.
And apparently you fire him in the second inning. We all find out, well, if you were still awake, you find out around midnight. And you're saying, all right, well, that's odd. But press conference, right? They'll probably have a press conference sometime on Monday.
And they did.
No, they did not. No,
they put out a 293-word release saying that they had parted ways with Dave Dombrowski, John Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy. None of them met with the media, answered any questions. And what they ensured here is that they took a story that was not that big a deal. The reaction in this town to getting rid of Dave Dombrowski at the end of the season would have been, okay,
yeah,
I see.
It was probably like 75-25 in favor of, sure.
You don't want him in charge long term. I mean, he's got a year left under his deal.
One year left. It's a major offseason upcoming. You might have to trade Mookie Betts. On top of it, you can look at a lot of his recent moves. Chris Sale, terrible move. Nathan Eovaldi, terrible move. Steve Pierce, to a much lesser degree, also terrible move. Not adding anything to the bullpen, terrible. Last year was great. It was one of the best seasons in Red Sox history. it could not have, from the moment they won the World Series to now, it really couldn't have gotten much worse. Like, realistically, because there's so much talent on the team, they weren't going to be dead last. They weren't going to bottom out like right. that. But realistically, it couldn't have gone worse because this looks like a lost season. They're not going to make the playoffs. But then also the future now is really in doubt. Like, you have a couple of bad contracts. You also have a couple of your stud players that may not be around much longer. So you have to decide. Dave Dombrowski, who is great at signing big contracts and great at trading minor leaguers
right.
for established stars. He's great. He's done his whole career. Can he do the other stuff?
He did exactly, by the way,
what
you expected him yeah. to do, what you hired him to do.
Yeah.
And the fact that they won a World Series means that he did it well.
Yeah.
Now, I understand parting ways with him at the end of the season. I really do.
Yeah,
same. And I don't think most people would have been clobbering the Red Sox. What they're clobbering the Red Sox for is making Alex Cora sit there yesterday
That's
for
insane.
40 minutes answering questions about why his boss was fired.
So bad that you put Cora there, and now when the players are going to have a chance to talk to, and yet you have this ownership group, which is just nothing. And like, John Henry does interviews. You know, Tom Warner does interviews. Sam Kennedy does interviews. Henry doesn't do a lot
Kennedy
of them.
More than the other
Kennedy
two.
Kennedy does more, but I mean, we've had Kennedy and Warner on our show multiple
sure.
times. Just our show. I know John Henry doesn't do as much of it, but we've heard him. They've done the press conferences. They've done those. What's the harm in doing a press conference? What are you trying to hide? And I go back. I don't even remember what it was. Was it when Francona got fired? They did the most bizarre setup ever, because this is when I was at the other station. And I was just gathering sound for like a bunch of Red Sox games. So they sent me down there, and they didn't do a traditional press conference. And I believe it was for Francona. I forget. They've had so many announcements over the last several years. And rather than doing a on-TV public press conference, they took groups of the media in like by fives, like five people at a time. And you had to wait there, and I was low man on the totem pole, so I was like one of the last guys to go.
You were number 37.
Yeah, and then you go and you met with, I believe it was Larry Lucchino, maybe Henry and somebody else. And my question then was, not why did you make the move, but why are we doing this? Like,
yeah.
what is this all about? Like, it was just like distracting from what you were really doing. And I think, yeah, there might be some backlash that you got rid of Francona because of his success. There might be some backlash that you got rid of Dombrowski because you hired him to win a World Series. He wins a World Series. The next year doesn't go your way, so you fire him. But why can't you just even...
It would not have been that big a
no.
story.
No, it really
they
wouldn't have
turned
been.
It into
they,
a bigger
100%,
story.
And I don't get
and,
it.
And then they took it even one step further yesterday. First of all, they don't hold the press conference. Alex Cora is out there answering questions. And then comes word about 45 minutes before first pitch that David Ortiz is going to make his first public appearance since being shot in the Dominican Republic in June and is going to throw out the first pitch at Fenway Park. I didn't have any idea. Nobody had any idea until about 45 minutes before the game. I get word on my phone, so I made sure I was watching to
right,
see David sure, Ortiz.
Right.
Wanted to see how he looked.
Yeah.
Wanted to see. I didn't know he was going to speak, and he did. That part of it, Ortiz coming out of the dugout, both the dugout standing on the top step and applauding, everything great. And David Ortiz even spoke.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank God for giving me a second opportunity in my life to be able to be here with all of you. I want to thank the Red Sox, my real family. They always had been there for me, supporting me. They were aware of what happened to me, and they were the first one there supporting me. Thank you very much, Red Sox family. I want to thank all of you for all the prayers. All of them came home. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I want to thank my former teammates for being there for me. Also, all of them came home to check up on his boy. Also, I want to thank the Yankees. A lot of my boys over there came and check up on Big Papi. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. CC, Encarnacion, all y'all, man. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Go Sox.
All of that's great, except the timing makes you wonder.
The Red Sox used David Ortiz. It's as simple as that.
It sure felt that way.
And it's really a shame.
Now, I saw where Ian Brown tweeted out, Ian Brown of MLB.com tweeted out, yeah. In case you're wondering, this was planned for several days. Maybe true.
I don't buy it.
It didn't feel that way to me.
I don't buy it. And Ian Brown, he's been covering the team for a while. I think he worked for RedSox.com for a while. I don't buy that for a second. And if they did, you're really going to make it a surprise on a Monday night? Really? Just a surprise. It's David Ortiz. Again, if you take that moment, really cool. Everything going on with David Ortiz, a lot of people have been worried about him.
And
rightfully so.
He
looked good.
From him
awesome. He grabs the mic. Really like a cool moment. You're going to do it the Monday right after you fired Dave Dombrowski and you don't hold a press conference and you're just looking for everybody else to sort of distract from that. That's a shame. They shouldn't have had to use David Ortiz like that. That is pathetic just to get a little bit of good PR. Like, that's the one kind of feel-good story from the year. As horrible as it was, he has recovered, looks good, he's out there. That's awesome.
Moving around like normal.
Yeah, you were hoping to see it at some point. Hey, if David Ortiz comes back, that'd be a cool moment. But you're going to do it on the Monday, and you're not even going to tell anybody until right before, and now it's like, hey, look at this. This is cool, right? Look over here. Don't look over here. Don't look at us hiding from our decision and not, answering any questions about it. Look at David Ortiz. This is cool.
So let's accept for a moment, for the sake of our argument, that they had planned this for a while. Okay, let's say that's true.
Okay.
Why the secrecy until 45 minutes until first pitch?
I would have pumped it up.
Hey, Monday night.
Yes.
David Ortiz is coming back. We're going to get to see him and hear from him.
The moment you confirmed it, I would have started telling people about it.
Why the secrecy?
Because it wasn't.
That's my problem.
Because it wasn't. Or even, I don't know. I don't know what David Ortiz's schedule looks like or whatever, but wouldn't you almost postpone it then? Like, just because it looks bad anyway. Like, let's say you did.
If he's going to do it,
you want to do it with the Yankees were there
because
maybe?
they had gone out of their way to go and visit and all that. That's fine,
but I definitely would have mentioned it prior to 6 o'clock or whatever on
if
a,
they
on a
knew
Monday night,
three four or, days yeah. ago that they were going to do this. Why do you have to keep it quiet?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you tell everybody? Hey, he's making his return. We're going to see him Monday night. Wow. I mean,
it makes no sense. But none of this does. Because what do you think, what's the number one reason for not holding a press conference?
You don't want to answer questions.
Yeah. And how bad are the questions
going to
be?
By the way, the questions weren't going to be overwhelming.
Just read your statement. Just read the statement that you issued. Or you could answer most questions. I could do the press conference. Hey, we've decided to go. We want to thank Dave Dombrowski for his time here. There was a lot of success. Unfortunately, this is a down season, and we're moving toward in a new direction. And we wanted to get a head start on that. We didn't want to wait till the end of the season. We wanted to get a head start on that. Okay. You're going to watch out. Here comes the hot questions. Here comes the ones that you're not going to be able to stand.
Well, the question that you might have gotten was, didn't Dave Dombrowski do exactly what you wanted him to do?
Yeah.
So why would you fire him after that?
Right.
And by the way, legitimate question.
Yeah.
Not exactly a hot sports take here.
You should be able to handle that one.
And you should be able to say, listen, what we needed from Dombrowski, he gave us at the time.
Right.
But we have a different agenda going forward.
Yes.
And we have different needs, and we think that we're going to be better off with someone else in that capacity.
Are you afraid that the press conference would come across as you're rebuilding and you don't want to tell people that next year you may not be a World Series contender? Because this year they aren't, but going into the year we thought they were. But next year, say, yeah, I know we have $60 million tied up in our two starting pitchers who may be hurt, but, oh, by the way, we're going to trade Mookie Betts for prospects, and J.D. Martinez is going to sign somewhere else. Like, maybe they're afraid of what it's going to sound like and say, all right, you have the highest payroll in baseball right now, but next year, what, your main goal is to stay below the luxury tax, and what, you're not going to be able to compete with the Yankees, or I guess you're afraid of that, but it's still worse by just avoiding it altogether.
This is not the bad old days for the Boston Red Sox. The pre-John Henry days, the John Harrington days, where, most of what they did was looked at as a joke. And, give credit where credit is due. Since Henry and Warner took over ownership of this team, they have been wildly successful.
Oh, they win a ton.
Four World Series titles. They've undertaken an expansion of the ballpark and a renovation of the park. They've done everything you could possibly want. They spend money. They spent the most money in baseball.
Right.
You can't be critical of the ownership here, and you've already gathered in a certain amount of goodwill just based on what your team has done.
Yeah.
You're not going to get killed because you fired Dave Dombrowski.
No, you're not. And then, again, and you can do it in a way where you don't put all of the blame on Dombrowski. Like, yeah, it looks like it because he's the one losing his job, but you say, hey, we thank him for this. This season didn't go our way. You know, maybe we didn't like the way we were spending all of our money, and we're going in a new direction next year. It's a very important offseason, and we're going to have so-and-so put in place. But that maybe that's the other problem, is they don't know who the next person is going to be. But that's not how press conferences always work. You don't always fire one guy and hire the next. That's not
how
it goes.
Maybe they do know, but they can say, we don't know. We're, you know, that's a process that we're undertaking.
But it almost looks like, you know, Dave Dombrowski didn't deserve a press conference is what they're telling us. Like, what he did to the team didn't deserve an explanation for why we let him go.
The team said they said in the immediate aftermath of winning the World Series last October that one of the priorities was getting Dave Dombrowski signed to a contract extension. They reiterated it at spring training that one of the priorities was getting Dombrowski signed to a contract extension. Something changed for them,
right?
Because I feel fairly safe here in saying, had they offered him a contract extension, they would have negotiated and he would have signed it. So something changed their mind. My guess is it was the contracts given to Sale and Eovaldi, and man, oh man, we spent all this money.
And no bullpen.
And we don't have a closer, and we don't have a bullpen.
Right.
And now we don't know if we're going to have the money to sign Mookie Betts. He really did screw this off season up.
Yeah.
And that's, I understand.
Right, exactly. And again, when you're this competitive, just because you win the World Series, as we've seen proven out, there's been different managers that have won the World Series here, a lot of different players. Doesn't mean you have a job for life. Like, that's just the reality. In other places, there might be more of a grace period, you know, after you win the title. But here, not really the case. So again, no press conference yesterday, which means the manager is left having to talk about it. This is pregame from Alex Cora, asked about why didn't the press release address really the reasons why Dombrowski was fired.
I think the organization decided to move in a different direction, just like it says in the statement. I don't think, you know, they have to go into details. I think the organization just decided that it was time to move on, you know, and like they said.
Why they decided it was time to move on?
I talked to them about it, you know. I talked what's going on and where we at and what was going to happen in the upcoming months.
Twice in that answer, he had to say, I
don't know.
I think the organization this. So not only is it a bad look to not hold a press conference for your president of baseball operations for, the last 4 years, but you're also hanging your manager out to dry. Now, Alex Cora, you're making him be the mouthpiece for this. It wasn't his decision to fire Dombrowski, and he has to answer questions for it.
And
how
the
fair
Pete
is that?
Abraham piece says that several people said Cora was stunned. Now, we're talking about the guy who hired Alex Cora as the manager of the
right,
Red Sox.
Right, 100%.
So Dan Roach from Channel 4 tweets out an hour ago, and I'm going to quote what he says.
Okay.
Sources tell me Alex Cora will be back as manager of the Red Sox in 2020. John Henry, Tom Werner, and Sam Kennedy addressed the team Monday afternoon in the clubhouse to express their confidence in Cora.
Well, so that was nice. They were there Monday.
They were.
Yeah.
Henry, reportedly, according to Pete Abraham, they canceled batting practice so that ownership could meet with the players at 4 o'clock. Roach continues, Henry, Werner, and Kennedy also expressed to the team in their meeting how confident they are in the baseball operations department, spearheaded by Eddie Romero, Brian O'Halloran, Zach Scott, and Raquel Ferreira. Is there anybody on the planet who thought there was a question about Alex Cora being back as manager?
No. Now, I guess the only reason why it would even be brought up is because
the guy who hired him just got fired.
Right. Exactly.
And theoretically, and the example we used yesterday, just to put a name on it, if they hired Billy Bean to be the general manager of the Red Sox, would he come in and say, hey, that's not my guy?
Right. Like when Dave Dombrowski got brought in and John Farrell was still here, he kept John Farrell, but it just seemed like there was an end in sight. Like, you just, all right, well, how long is this going to last? It's not really his guy. Again, sometimes that can happen, but that is one of the most important jobs probably for the GM / president of team operations, would be getting a manager, or in other sports, a head coach that they want and they are on the same page with. So, yeah, I think Cora's job is safe, but depending on who they hire, then maybe the questions will pop up again.
I mean, I believe that they're going to hire from within.
And then Cora's
I believe it's going to be Eddie Romero, and Cora is fine. But I half understand why ownership felt compelled to tell the players, hey, don't worry, he's back, but I don't know anybody who really wondered if that was the case.
But also, feel free to tell the media, too. You can go ahead and hold a press conference, and that can be part of it,
that
too.
That could have been part of your press conference. Hey, Alex Cora is going to be the manager next year.
Try to focus on the positives. Like, hey, we love our manager. We got some good players here, and you know we're moving forward. We're moving in the right direction. It seems like it was a decision. Like, that's the other thing, too, is how sure of your decision are you if you can't even answer questions about it? You're the ones who fired them.
It gives the impression that you weren't. Maybe you had dissension among the ranks.
Right.
Maybe John Henry wanted him gone, but Tom Werner didn't. I mean, those are things you don't.
It seems kind of wishy washy, because even if there was, you know, you made a decision that a lot of people questioned, but you were adamant about it, then you'd have no problem answering questions about it. You could argue both sides and whatever, but you're like, I'm strong in my stance that this is the decision that's best for the team, and here's why. But if you're kind of going back and forth about it, then, yeah, why would you put yourself out there? You know, you might get yourself trapped in a question. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Shoot, maybe I should rehire this guy. Maybe you're not all that convinced you made the right move.
It's been a disappointing season for the Red Sox. Nobody's going to suggest otherwise. Coming off the high of a World Series championship and with the highest payroll in baseball, I understand why ownership is as exasperated as fans are right now. Everybody understands that. But it's not like you've got this well of despair here.
I also,
you're 10 months away from a world title.
Yeah, no, they did that, but it really, things have gone so poorly following that. I also, the timing of Dombrowski being fired is really odd.
I didn't get that.
Like, when did they...
Did something happen?
I was going to say.
From the pregame ceremony to the second inning?
Yeah, they're like, if we get out of this jam here in the first, like, he'll keep his job. But it is odd, because... Were they thinking about this at the trade deadline? Did they put any clamps on him at the trade deadline? If so, you should have just fired him then. If not, you couldn't have done it on an off day? Or, like, what was the reasoning for that moment? I can see...
Other than we think, hey, everybody's focused on what's going down in Foxborough tonight. Let's do it now.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, Antonio Brown signed? I'm surprised they didn't do it that second. I'm surprised they didn't do it Saturday evening, whenever it was that the Antonio Brown thing came down. I'm surprised they didn't say, oh, by the way, I fired. Like, because the Chiefs used the Antonio Brown saga as a way to slip the Tyreek Hill extension under everybody's doorstep, and so the Patriots did, or the Red Sox ended up doing the same thing.
It was a weird combination of things, and quite honestly, the Red Sox have ended up with much more criticism for what they didn't do than what they did do. What they did do wasn't as big a deal, I think, as they thought it was going to be.
Right.
What they didn't do.
Yeah, you turned it into a bigger
What they
story.
Didn't do, which is stand there and answer questions about it, turned it into a bigger deal.
Yep.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up and some unhappy folks. I mean, I hate to traffic in unhappiness, but
it's all right.
Sometimes you have to.
That's all right.
That's coming up in just a couple of minutes after trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now.
Back to more of Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now? Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keith's a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keith.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Nice. We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keith is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Pizza special because it's the only thing that tastes like pizza. It's bread, sauce, meat, cheese. What isn't that that we eat?
Tokunishi Takahashi.
You rescued it. Okay.
Hey, Rich. This is Dad. Just checking. Did you hear that they signed Antonio Brown? Holy shit. Talk to you. Bye.
It's noon 30 on a Tuesday.
We're not playing your voicemail.
That's my dad's voicemail. My dad called me. So here's the deal. On Saturday, I find out that Antonio Brown is signed with the Patriots. So as you can imagine, I'm running up and down my house. I'm screaming. I'm you know, shooting off champagne corks.
Okay.
Dale.
You're the one posting gifts for God's sakes.
It was a gift tsunami there where they signed Antonio Brown. So then I finally settle back down. And I see my phone. Again, I've been away from my phone for a little while. And I got some texts of friends talking about Antonio Brown. And then I have a voice message. I'm like, well, what's this voice message?
Hey, Rich. This is Dad. Just checking. Did you hear that they signed Antonio Brown? Holy shit. Talk to you.
Thrilled. He's excited. I can't wait. I'm like, yeah, I did see that they signed Antonio Brown.
Yeah, holy bleep.
So I gotta clear it with him to play that, right? Are we not a two-party state? Oh. He called me, though.
Yeah,
he called me.
Yeah, but
I don't know how that works. I gotta ask
Antonio
Brown.
That's consent, I think.
I think it is
consent.
He calls you. I should leave that at the end of my voice message. Like, if you're calling me, I may play this on the radio. I don't care who you are, I may play it on the radio. Well, on Sunday night, before the game, our very own John Anderson, our producer here, who's also the producer of the Off Day Pod with Andy Hart and Ryan Hannibal, he was walking around outside of Gillette Stadium. And he ran into, of course.
Was he not working? He was just wandering around?
This is part of it.
Well, I was there early.
He was there early. You know, you want to set the scene there. And as there are anywhere, there are Steeler fans. Steeler fans pop up in the damnedest places. I know they were playing them, but you do find them anywhere.
The stadium. NBC showed
they did
few.
All right.
They didn't
fine.
Look happy, but they were there. No.
Believe it or not, I was walking around for a while before I found any Steelers fans.
Was it really not that many?
There were not a lot in the back parking lot.
Okay, but these guys were fired up, and so John talks to two different Steeler fans. There happened to be about eight of them there, I would say.
There was a big crowd of them kind of around each other, but these two sort of took the reins.
They certainly did. They're both, of course, wearing Steeler jerseys, as they are want to do. One guy had the Steeler hat on. One guy kind of looked like Jerome Bettis. Didn't he like sneak?
Yeah, with the guy with the fire hat on. If you look at the video on Twitter, he's on the left.
Only because I'm concerned about your continued employment, John. You have bleeped these folks, right?
Oh, they're very bleeped. Okay.
Yeah, this is bleeped. Right, okay. This is bleeped out. I believe.
And if they aren't, then it wasn't me.
Then we'll have to dump out of this and we'll move on. But here's John talking to some Steeler fans again prior to the game on Sunday.
Sweet pandering you, bro. Here's the deal. AB is a piece of trash. This has been in the works for 7 months now.
Yeah.
Listen, 5-6 years ago, you did it with LeGarrette Blount. He knew we had another job coming. Right now, it was pretty much like, hey, AB, how can you get released by the Raiders, the terrible Raiders, to join the 6-time Super Bowl New England Patriots to get revenge to the Steelers? Clearly.
So this guy is already, I think he's actually
a little more rational than some.
More rational than I thought.
Yeah.
He's upset about Antonio Brown, but he's referencing LeGarrette Blount, which is a good comp.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because LeGarrette Blount was there, wanted out, came back to the Patriots, did very well. So he's actually kind of a realist in this. Right? Like, he knows the Patriots are
good. I was looking for unrealists.
I know. He's talking about 6-time Super Bowl unrealists. Yeah, it's a group.
Okay.
It's a group out there. But he's talking about giving them credit for the 6 Super Bowls. So this guy doesn't seem so bad.
It's been going on for months, but I can't wait because Brady is 500 years old. He can't throw the ball deeper than 25 yards.
Did that play out on Sunday?
This is before the game.
This is before the game. That didn't really play out.
Unless he's throwing against really, really bad safeties, in which case it is bombs away.
Yeah, and then they have no problem. If you give like a Pittsburgh-like secondary, then you're going to be just fine.
He can't throw the ball deeper than 25 yards. It don't matter. He's an improvisational wide receiver.
Ooh, here we go.
Improvisational wide receiver.
This guy took some notes here, I think, because that was one of the things that popped up. I think I saw Ross Tucker and somebody else saying, hey, Antonio Brown likes to freelance. They don't like to freelance in New England. That's not going to fly.
It don't matter. He's an improvisational wide receiver. But guess what? The pocket will collapse on Brady, and you ain't going to win.
I feel like when you're running out of stuff, you just hit him with the Let's Go Steelers.
Yeah.
Well. That's all you really have at that point. I wonder if he was saying
that throughout the night.
No, there's not much time for that.
No.
There's not a whole lot of celebration there. That guy brought a whistle.
That's
obnoxious. I would rather you have an air horn than a whistle.
Or a laser pointer.
Yeah, bring the laser pointer. That's fine. A whistle? That's got to be one of the worst things. Bring that every time you say something. Fire that off. That's fantastic. A whistle? Like, come on, pal.
How do you burn your feet?
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go. First of all, how do you burn your feet?
This guy's bringing the feet back. We heard you the first time.
Not very well organized, group?
If you watch the video, that dude stands there sipping a drink for the first minute. Like, he's like trying to hype himself up, and like, you can hear here, he's trying to say something funny, and it doesn't really land.
It's the same whistle guy.
Yeah, same whistle guy.
The guy who blows the whistle has been drinking for who knows how long, and he's like, how do you burn your feet? Is that your big
It's the dude who looks like Jerome Bettis.
He does look a lot like Jerome Bettis.
First of all, how do you burn your feet and then you get on the sideline with the hard knock and then you're getting into it with the GM and now he's like, all right, you're the out of there. And then
what?
He just starts swearing more, so it's funnier. It's like the late seasons of The Office.
But that's true.
Did he ever surround a point?
No. He was upset about the feet thing.
Yeah,
I don't know how that impacted really anybody at this point, but he's making fun of him for the feet thing. Then he said he did attack the GM. Well, he's verbally attacked the GM. Yeah. So I guess he's got some points in there. Hard Knocks. He watched all of Hard Knocks, obviously. That's good.
And now he's like, all right, you're the f*** out of there. And then with hours later, you get picked up by the Patriots. That's planned, man.
Huh? So he thinks it's planned.
Oh, planned.
He's saying it's planned. I guess saying that's like an inside job.
He was slurring by that point. It was kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I guess it was a little
whiskey
hard to
tell. Whiskey on the rocks he was drinking.
Is that what he had?
Yeah, the other
I feel like that's not a great tailgate beverage.
The other guy
in the
video.
You want to watch a game.
No, I know. Right.
Full handle of Fireball. Empty. In the other dude.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong
with it. It's like 4 p.m.,
it.
By the way.
I'm kind of wondering if it was like Gumball Rally getting out of there after the game.
She drank almost a whole entire bottle of Fireball.
I mean, if it was 4 p.m. and they were lit up like that, what were they like after the game?
Did you see the video of the Cleveland Browns fan who was standing on top of the van?
I think he might be dead.
Do you know what time it was in that video?
It was like 9?
It was 7 in the morning.
7 a.m.? There was like, if you missed it,
there's
a guy.
Well, he'd been going for a couple of days by then.
They were doing a news shot, and it was some guy from Cleveland getting excited, because that's a good team this year. People are excited about that team. And this guy is just standing there on top of his van, and then just falls off
it. It's like he falls
it's like he falls asleep. Landed on his shoulder
on his
and didn't get up.
Too.
Sometimes you see those crazy videos where a guy takes a big hit and then gets up and stumbles off. And you're like, how'd they do that? No, this guy didn't move an inch.
He might still be there. It did not look good.
Decent percentage chance that he's dead. 75?
So maybe
95?
Long-term, like, cranial damage, at least.
Oh, it's not good. I mean, his shoulder is probably worse than Cannon's now. He went from, how high is the top of a van? That's like
he was standing on the bed of a pickup, wasn't he? A very
no,
high
no,
pickup.
No, no,
on the roof
it
of
was,
a van.
It was like a van, and
it's
he was
be like 8 feet
standing on top of it. Yeah, it's like a story. He was a story up, and he went
and
down
goes face
just
first,
wiped out. So good thing this Steeler fan was not standing on a van.
That's one thing. Plan. That's plan, man.
He can't even blow the whistle on this guy. Oh my god. How drunk do you have to be to not be able to blow a whistle? Not whistle yourself.
That
he
drunk.
Had a physical
that
whistle.
Drunk right there.
Can't do it. You're drinking whiskey. Listen, that's not a tailgate kind of beverage. It just isn't.
Don't you want to like remember the
yes.
game? Well, as it turns out,
no,
you might
don't.
not have wanted to, but he didn't know that then, did he?
No, I don't think so. But that's one of those ones, Dale, where maybe post-game you want to treat yourself? You want to have a nice whiskey after the game?
You're not driving?
Nothing right. Correct. You always have the one guy or gal who drives. Everybody else, have a couple whiskeys. But before the game,
ugh.
No, that's not what you want to do. What was that? Okay. All right. We're not really not getting it.
That's plan, man.
Okay.
By the way, we just on the Dale and Keith Twitter feed, Lucy just posted the story about the Browns fan who they said had a seizure. And fell off the van.
It's not quite as funny, Lucy. Thank you.
Yes, that's
thank you.
Well, this is why I posted it. Is because he's epileptic and he takes medication to prevent this from happening, but apparently it happened.
We just dumped that whole segment.
Yep. Go ahead. Toss that out. Well, let me just say this. Now, I apologize.
He was hospitalized for a broken shoulder, broken ribs, and a fractured skull. His son also claims he's dealing with a blood clot and needs surgery. Thanks, Lucy.
Listen.
Appreciate you.
Now,
just wanted to let you know.
But I do want to point this out. If you are dealing with those things, do you stand on top of a van?
No. Maybe that's a bad plan.
Maybe you don't stand on top of a van. Again, I'm not going to laugh at you, but I'm just don't.
Well, we did, but we didn't know.
Starting right now, I'm not going to. That's a promise. Okay, sir. That's fine.
Old whistle thing.
All right.
You know, as one of our Twitter followers, Dice, points out, the whole whistle thing is kind of good practice for the breathalyzer he's going to have to be taken later on.
That's a good point.
Couldn't find him after the game. He might have got taken out at halftime.
No, I'm guessing he didn't make it for the whole game.
He definitely threw a punch in, like, the first quarter.
Definitely threw a punch or left in the third. Like, there's no way he was there for 33-3. He's not there for that.
I don't know. I just don't.
Nice job, John, catching up with these guys. That was
just
nice.
Just nightmare of these guys on the roads later.
Oh, my God.
Trying to find their way, all the way back to Pennsylvania.
Trying to find their way back to Pittsburgh.
I was at Route 1 is a scary place sometimes after games.
It can be an awful place. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So we've talked a little bit this week about diva wide receivers because, you know, you now have one. If you didn't have one before, you got one now. There's another diva wide receiver who plays for the Cleveland Browns who got into a bit of hot water over the weekend. Odell Beckham Jr. Playing for the Cleveland Browns against the Tennessee Titans. Was photographed from a couple of different angles, and people saw it pretty clearly.
Yeah.
He was wearing a watch during the game. Now, first of all, you wonder, why do you need a watch when you're playing in a football game? But that's beside the point.
Because it's game time.
Yeah. Well, then, as it turns out, and if I'm mispronouncing this, I apologize, but...
Let's hear it.
He was wearing a Richard Mille timepiece.
I have a pronunciation update.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, Dale.
Let's go. It's Illuminor.
Yes, exactly. That's how you pronounce. No, I steered you wrong, Dale. It is Richard Mille.
Okay. A Richard Mille.
Richard Mille.
Richard Mille.
Okay.
It's a nice timepiece.
It's worth $350,000.
The watch does?
Yes. He was wearing a $350,000 watch during the game on Sunday. The league said, that's a violation. You're not allowed to wear that. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's an equipment violation. Not that I've heard of that in the past or anything.
Don't you start that again.
So the league said, you can't wear that. And in fact, they said they were going to address the issue with Beckham and the Browns, but they weren't going to discipline him.
No,
you know,
discipline.
Maybe you didn't
Good.
Know.
Let him go.
So,
but why do you want to wear a watch on the field?
I don't know.
It looks stupid, too. First of all, I'm not a watch, a wristwatch guy.
Well,
I'm more
of a... It was orange, at least. It had an orange band.
It was team colors.
It went with the whole
team colors.
Ensemble.
You can wear wristbands. Why can't you wear a wristwatch?
So,
I'm more of a pocket watch
today,
guy myself.
Odell Beckham Jr. says he plans to wear it again.
So he obviously
in week
has,
two against the Jets.
He obviously has an endorsement deal, right?
Yeah, I don't
he
know. You
must.
That would make the most sense.
Because if you keep talking about it, now people are talking about Odell Beckham's watch, and they want to look up what kind it is and find out that it's a Richard Mille. And then
so
that way,
he said,
they're making their money off of him.
He said there'd be no issue at all if the watch cost $20.
I think a watch is a watch.
It's kind of
dumb.
What
do they care? You're the one that would be breaking a $350,000 watch. Somebody's going to stomp on it. Some guy that he plays against is going to tackle him and stomp on his wrist.
So he said also today that he wants it to be, quote, about football, not the watch.
Oh, okay. Fair
okay,
enough.
Then take
the team
the
lost
watch
by 30.
Off.
You want to talk about that? Let's talk about the watch again.
So take the watch off.
Yeah, I don't understand the watch thing. And it looks stupid. Like some of these guys, they want to do certain things, wear certain cleats, whatever, and it's for the look, and that's fine. The watch doesn't make any sense to me.
So Freddie Kitchens said, and Freddie, as you guys know, is the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
For now.
He said he didn't know Beckham was wearing the watch. So, and that's
yeah,
fine. I understand
it's
that.
Game day. He's got a lot of things to worry
he
about.
He did say, quote, as long as they're going to enforce that with everyone, I'm fine with it. Let's just make sure it gets enforced with everybody. So Freddie's defending Odell Beckham Jr.
Like,
wearing a $350,000 watch.
Who else is wearing watches? Because they have this rule. It's about you can't have hard objects.
Yeah.
However.
There is some jewelry that's allowed. Like you can wear a necklace.
Oh, did
as we
Cam
know, the
Newton's
whole
necklace. He had like a 5-pound thing on his necklace. I don't know what that was. Guys wear wedding rings out there, right? I mean, Fitzpatrick does. I think it was Roethlisberger.
Do they wear like Andy Hart rubber wedding rings?
Some of them probably do.
The hard old wedding
but
rings.
But some of them have like gold wedding rings out there. You're like, what? Guys, don't they wear clubs out there? Like when they have like a broken hand and they play?
Right.
That's more dangerous than a wristwatch, isn't it?
Well, maybe, but this is not allowed. The league said, we're not going to punish you. You didn't know, but we're going to talk to you and the Browns.
But so what
just
will happen?
Just so you know, you can't wear this.
Will he get fined by
and,
the league?
And he said he's going to wear it anyway.
All right. So
I want him suspended for 4 games.
You want him out for 4.
For a violation of
they should probably look into
an equipment
it.
Violation, I want him suspended.
I think they should take him to the Supreme Court.
When I tweeted about this on Sunday, because I saw a picture of him wearing the watch, and
yeah,
I said,
it's a bad look.
This is God's way of saying you've got too much disposable income.
$350,000
if you've got a $350,000 watch on your hand, and you're out there playing in an NFL game.
That is just outrageous. What else does it do? If the watch is worth $350,000, does it just tell time?
I bet it has a compass on it. A lot of them do.
That might help.
I do like to know where I'm going.
Exactly. Yeah, so it also has like nautical miles.
I'm
going to
guess,
I'm gonna guess
a Richard Mille $350,000 watch doesn't have a compass.
What
doesn't
do you mean?
I think
Lucy
it's a,
thinks it might.
I think it's a pretty basic kind
let's
of...
Let's say I want...
to know which way the end zone is.
Yes.
North-south.
It's always north. Like, let's say I wanted to go orienteering. Could I bring one of those?
As you often say you want
to
do.
Yeah, I'm always out in the woods, kind of, you know, hacking down limbs, making my own path. Would I want one of these watches? Are they waterproof? Up to 10 feet, probably. You can go in your bathtub with it.
It'll help him catch the ball, apparently.
He had 7 catches for 71 yards.
A couple drops, though.
Well, listen. Baker Mayfield's got to put it on him a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm looking at the...
What do you do with that? $350,000 for a watch?
Well, that's like I said.
Again, I'm not a watch guy anyway.
Disposable income.
I wouldn't spend a dollar on a watch, let alone $350,000 of them.
I'm looking at a close-up photo of it. I mean, it's a watch.
You can tell
it's time with your phone, or
if you're good at it, the sun.
I know for a fact you can get watches at Job Lot for 60 cents.
60 cents?
60 cents.
Which, you if you watch, break it, yeah. You say, okay, so what?
Yeah. 60 cents, easy come, easy go.
Yeah, easy I'm come, sorry, Lucy. This doesn't seem to have a compass on it.
Does he have to wind it? Is it one of those ones that you have to keep winding?
No, I think that Richard Mille sends someone to your house to wind it for you.
They should.
I'm looking at one that's on sale here for $285,000. So this is a bargain. This one,
split it?
It's not as nice as the one he's wearing, but
I don't really understand the watch infatuation, especially on the football field.
Now, there's a tennis player. Who was it? Was it
Andre Agassi?
Was it Federer who wore
Michael Chang
a big fancy watch? There is,
I don't know.
There is a tennis player who
probably a Swiss
fairly recently was wearing one of these expensive watches while he was playing.
Yeah.
The guess was, as you said, you've got some sort of a commercial endorsement deal.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to suggest that the chances of getting your watch smashed to bits is probably less in tennis than it is in an NFL game.
True. Rafael Nadal was wearing an $850,000 watch at the French Open.
Are you kidding me? What a piece of work that is. Why?
A RM2702 Whirlpool.
Well, that's a nice watch. That is a nice time.
Called Rafael Nadal. The watch is named after him.
There you go.
So that makes sense.
That is a nice tie in there. Yeah, but O'Neill Beckham.
Also by Richard Mille, excuse me.
Excited about that. Holy smokes.
Oh, it is by Richard Mille.
This guy knows what he's doing in the watch game. If you guys like watches like I do, Richard Mille's the guy that you want to call up. Give him a shout. Say, listen, I need a new watch. My wrist. I need something nice.
Richard Mille and Patek Philippe is another good brand.
Yeah. What happened to Rolex? I thought they were the king of the watch.
Those are at the bottom now.
Is that right?
Nobody cares about
Rolex.
Nobody likes
a Rolex?
No, it's not as expensive. It's like,
really?
It's like not in the $100,000 range.
Oh, that's a shame.
And Nadal, as you said, was wearing this watch when he won the U.S. Open this weekend. So Richard Mille
is
killing it this weekend.
He must.
You know, they had Odell Beckham Jr. They had
Father Time, they call him.
Is that right? They call him Father Time.
Nadal's watch was specially designed to weigh just 20 grams.
I don't even know
while
what that
also
means.
Being virtually indestructible.
I don't know.
That will prevent the Browns from self-destructing.
Tennis, I could almost see it. I mean, I still think it's kind of dumb, but okay, you're probably not going to get it stomped on. But NFL football?
I don't even think it looks good. I'm all about the looks. You know, if you look sharp, go ahead and pull it off. It's rather large. It's stupid.
They seem to be big on orange and yellow, and it's a little colorful.
A little showy. That's fine.
Yeah, they seem to like orange a lot, which is probably
Cleveland
how
Browns.
Odell,
nice
Odell
tie
Beckham
in.
Jr. got, you know, all attracted to
it. I like it,
but founded in 2001, Richard Mille.
Guy's killing it.
They only make 4,800 of these a year. Have 148 employees. They make 4,800 watches a year and sell them for incredible bank. A little weird, but it's out there. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll turn our attention back to the Patriots diva wide receiver when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.